You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 23, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Weekman interview award-winning outdoor writer, photographer, and author Tim Huffman. The 2019 Crappie Masters Lifetime Achievement Award winner has written over 2,000 articles, editor for Crappie Masters, has 8 books published, and was the editor of Crappie Now. Tackle Time features the secret new LiveScope jig head. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Weekman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish, to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad, man, we got a really good show lined up this week. Let me tell you, we're going to talk about crappie fishing with a guy that knows crappie fishing. This guy is a 2019, he was a Crappie Masters Lifetime Achievement Award winner. He's got books published. He's got more of a resume than I'm going to read to you right here, right now. Let's welcome onto the show Mr. Tim Huffman. Are you there, Tim?
Hey, I am. It's great to be with y'all today.
All right. Great to have you, man.
Tell us. You have the pulse of the crappie fishing world. What is the hottest thing happening in the crappie world?
Well, the hottest thing is it started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and that was LiveScope. We've had several things occur in the crappie fishing world that's made big differences. One was spider rigging back probably 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and it changed the crappie world. And you put multiple baits where you want to. The LiveScope is changing crappie fishing back over to one pole fishing because you're seeing the fish, you're putting the bait on the fish. Right. So that's the biggest change for very serious fishermen and the pro tournament fishermen. That's what you got to be doing.
Right.
And so when you're, for the people that don't know, when you're saying one pole, what are you really talking about?
I'm talking about jigging or casting with the LiveScope. You're seeing a fish out, say, 40 feet out back in toward your boat. And some people prefer to cast that fish while it's out further away from the boat. The majority of fishermen are using 12 and 13 foot jigging poles to pitch or drop the jig right down on the fish.
So it's having the ability now to pick out that individual fish and present one bait with one pole to one fish.
That's right. You know, to me, I've got mixed feelings on it. To me, it's kind of like spotlighting deer at night. We're seeing that fish and we're not dropping in beside a stump wondering whether or not if a fish is there and how long we ought to keep it. Now fishermen can see if a fish is there. They can tell how big, if it's a crappie, they know how big it is. They see how it reacts to a bait. The huge advantage of the system is we learn about fish. We know that they're more spooky than we once thought they were. You know, you touch a trolling motor or you sling a, if you have a transducer pinging, you know, you can see a reaction to it. So it has the ability to teach us a lot of things that things we knew were true in the past really weren't as true as we thought they were.
Is that right? Yeah.
So have you been out live scoping yourself?
No, I've been out. Well, I've been out with one man, and we did some work on that. I don't live scope. I'm 68 years old, have some medical issues, so I don't get to fish as much as I used to. I still get to go out and photo the fishermen and see their techniques, and it is a deadly technique. The disadvantage of the scope that I really hate to see, it may not be the ideal thing for a weekend fisherman.
Right.
To begin with, you know, your average worker with a family who goes fishing two or three times a month can't drop $3,000 to $5,000 for a good unit.
Right.
And the other thing, you need experience with that unit. You can't just put it out on your boat and go out this weekend and catch fish. And I hope people who hear us talking about it, who read about it in magazines, don't think that it's just something they can throw on their boat and they're suddenly a great live scope fisherman. You know, right. it takes a lot of time on the water to learn what you're looking at.
Right. There's a massive learning curve to it.
Yeah.
Do you think there's been a resurgence of younger anglers fishing for crappie, though, because of it?
I believe so. You know, young fishermen like to run and gun, and then today's youth are so electronic-oriented.
Yeah, they're born knowing this stuff.
Sure. You know, they can probably learn the unit and 20% of the time that an older person would learn it in. That's just the way things are. And it's kind of like playing a video game. So it's right down their alley.
Right.
It's what they've been doing anyway, except we're doing it with real fish, you know, instead of people running across the screen shooting at them or something. So it makes it more fun and less boring for the younger generation. So I believe we'll see more and more going after crappie, maybe going after bluegill, some species besides bass, you know, that's been the young person's sport.
Right.
So tell us there's equipment that you can use just when you're live scoping, like fishing rods and things like that, isn't there?
Right. Well, the fishermen who are casting seem to enjoy the longer 7 to 8 foot limber casting rods because they can, it puts the snap when you're casting, you can get more snap with that limber rod when you're casting a 1/64th or a 1/32nd ounce jig.
Right.
They can get it out further. And they also have a little more control over the jig. And it's good when they're setting the hook. For people jigging, you're wanting to catch that fish as far out from that boat as you can. So 12 and 13 foot poles are common. I know B&M came out with a 13 foot stick that's made just for live scoping.
Right.
And get it on out to the boat. And even though these rods are light, for anyone who's never tried to hold a 13 foot jigging pole for 5 or 6 hours, it can be a little tiring.
It gets to be pinned the tail on a donkey after a little while, don't it?
That's right. But with live scoping, a lot of the time your pole is not in the water. It's sticking up in the air until you find a fish.
Right.
And then you're dropping down on it. So that does help in that.
So tell us, because you've been to all the lakes, probably in the southeast, which one would be, like, if you could rank them, what would be the top three lakes that you would rank for crappie fishing?
Oh, I hate these questions.
Okay, you can make it. You can make it five.
Somebody get mad at me.
You can make it five. Then, what would be your top five?
If I'm going fishing, like Narbonne down in the in Louisiana is absolutely fantastic. Right. You may not catch the number of 3-pound fish, but they just have scores of 2-pound plus fish down there. And you can fish any way you want to fish. You know, it's got, you can spider rig, pull jigs, pull cranks, vertical jigs. So it offers a wide variety of fishing. Of course, you got to rake Grenada right up near the top because of the large fish there. And it's just a crazy good lake. It can be a tough lake because wind runs you off. Right. So you might go down there for 3 or 4 days and get to fish one or two in the spring. But you can catch big crappie. Ross Barnett is a really good lake. It's probably one of the most underrated for crappie fishing, but any of the Mississippi lakes are good. In Arkansas, all of the crappie guys who are fishing the lakes all over the state regularly claim that Dardanelle is one of the better ones, but it's we talked to a biologist there this spring, and it lost a lot of its crappie in the floods last year. Right, so,
I'd heard that.
It's kind of on the comeback. If I wanted to catch a big crappie in Arkansas, I'd probably be on Lake Conway.
Right. Yeah, that's a crappie spot right there, too.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many lakes I threw out there, but that's, Mississippi has a monopoly on good lakes, but it's not fair. There ought to be one about 15 minutes from Little Rock here, and we don't have that.
Right. So I understand you have written 8 books now.
That is correct. I started back in the 90s, back when Steve Coleman and Ronnie Capps were on top of the fishing world and just tearing everything up. They let me tag along on a lot of trips and took me out different times. And we had a good time. And I did my winning crappie secrets on basically how to slow troll.
Right.
And by the way, there is a difference between slow trolling and spider rigging. Okay. I know that's used synonymously, but spider rigging is you just stick poles out in the boat wherever you want to. And used to, there were no pole limits. So they might have 8 or 10 poles in the front and 6 or 8 in the back. But slow trolling is a little different because you're putting all of your poles tighter together on the front of the boat. You're fishing side by side, or you fish individually, but all the poles go into that brush pile when you move in.
Right.
When you're spider rigging, you've got a lot of poles sticking out around the boat that's not in the prime cover. So my first book was on Ronnie and Steve, and it was the most popular because people were learning how to do the slow trolling. And it was kind of a guidebook for how to do that. And right. And they were absolutely the best at the time. My two newer books came out last year, Limiting Out for Crappie and 300 Plus Crappie Fishing Tips. That one features Travis and Charlie Bunting.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. I know them. Yep.
They've in the crappie tournament world, they've won about every title. They're the only team who's won titles in all 3 major national circuits.
There's some crappie big
USA. Yeah, they're good.
Where can people get these books if they wanted to purchase one?
They're available on Amazon. They're either you can get an ebook from there or order the paperback.
Okay.
So you've been around. How about planer boards? Have you gone out with some pros that use planer boards?
Yeah, Dan Dannemuehler, been out with him some and pulled those. They're outstanding. I've not been around them enough to be comfortable using them. You got to be coordinated, and I'm not great at that category. But anyway, I just don't have the experience on them. I know they make a huge difference compared to when I pull crankbaits. I use an 8, 12, and 16-foot pole off each side of the boat. Planer boards will get those baits further away from the board, so spookier crappie, and they will be spooked by your boat, by your trolling motor noise, and they'll move out away from your boat, and they'll be right in line to catch them with the planer boards.
Right, they and, do get boat so shy.
They do.
And you were the editor for Crappie.net, no, for Crappie Now. How long were you the editor for that?
I was editor for 8 years. T.J. Stallings, Dan Dannemuller, and myself were co-owners in that magazine, and we started it up. And I was really reluctant. You know, I'm an old school guy, and I like that hard paper magazine in my hand to read. So, but they had the foresight to go out and develop a really good layout for a crappie magazine online, and it's a I did that for 8 years until last year, and Richard Sims took over. I'm still a senior writer for them, and love writing for that magazine. But they are a free monthly publication. Anyone can go to crappienow.com and have a free magazine every month.
Yeah,
and they're getting articles that you've written and some other, you know, really good writers that. You know, write for that, right?
They do. And I know you've written several articles while I was editor, and we have, you know.
That was a setup if I ever heard one.
Well, I thought Brad was fishing, so yeah. I took the bait. But seriously, you know, it's a very good lineup of writers that provide information every month. And, you know, all a writer does is, you know, we provide someone's story on how they catch fish and get it down on paper or, you know, through a podcast or whatever. So, I've never claimed to be a great crappie fisherman, but, I probably have as much crappie fishing knowledge as anyone.
Right.
I'm just not claiming to be able to apply that to my fishing.
Well, when you start hanging around with Caps and Coleman and the Buntings and stuff like that, man, you just sit down and gain knowledge by the hour doing that.
Oh, that's correct. And I've been real fortunate. I've been editor for Crappie Master magazine. I'm not even sure now. 12. 14 years,
is
maybe.
That right? Wow.
And yeah, and I get to, say I'm doing an article on the Buntings, I'll go out and pre-fish with them a day. And I know Charlie does a lot of pre-fishing by himself. So, you know, he'd say, yeah, get in the boat, fish with me. So I get to go out.
Well,
and,
darn the luck, and, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do that for a living, I guess.
It's a tough job, but you know, I've been really fortunate. You know, you share a boat with someone for a day and you get to know them, you know, right. And it's just made some great friends out on the water.
Yep.
What's the biggest crappie you ever caught, Tim?
Well, the biggest weighed crappie I've ever caught was a 298 at Grenada.
Wow.
I got to fish with Jimmy Houston in his private lake in Oklahoma for a couple days. And we had, you know, I caught one he believes went 3 1/4.
Right.
We didn't have any scales anyway to measure.
Yeah, well,
or
at least
anything,
Roland
so.
Wasn't down there weighing it for you. Right?
No, it wasn't Roland. It was Jimmy. You know, it may have been a 4.5 if Roland had been with us. So, I'm not quite broke that 3-pound mark as far as a weighed crappie, but that's okay. I've had some fun. My best fishing trip, I went out one day with Dan on Grenada, and we were proof fishing, and we had 40 to 50 crappie, I would say, that went over 2 pounds, and we had quite a few over 2 1/4. And it's just amazing day. They were just, hitting like crazy.
Yeah, the sad thing, though, is on that lake, you can't win nothing with it.
Oh, no, you can't. But, you pull in a 2-pounder, say, oh, that's just another 2-pounder,
right.
Back in, that's a fish of life on some lake.
You better believe it is.
Yeah, so besides obviously being an outdoor rider, you've had other opportunities to fish for some other fish. What's the most unusual, article that you've written about that has to do with fishing?
Oh, wow. Two come to mind. One, I was good friends with a guide on Wapapella Lake up in southeast Missouri. And that was my home lake for quite a while. Well, he got up there. We had a flood, and there were big logs floating and brush floating through. And he had a guide trip. He had to go anyway. So he started catching big fish from under a log, he and his client. And all of a sudden, he noticed that log was moving. Well, his pattern for the day was fishing floating logs down the creek and the river. I mean, they were literally moving, and the crappie were moving with them. So that was kind of fun.
Wow.
And I guess one of the craziest experiences I had was a media trip we had on Lake Norfolk. And we were fishing topwater for stripers at night. And they were in anywhere from 4 to 8 feet of water. And biggest I had was probably 7-8 pounds, but one guy in the boat caught a 30 pounder. And you hear these strippers hit a topwater lure, and it's like a brick, concrete block falling in the water, and the pull is incredible. All your senses are heightened at night. So that was a fun article to do and to write about.
Right.
And, I know Brad, being a guide, you probably got plenty of stripper stories, but they are a fun fish to catch.
Yeah, I have stories I cannot share.
I have a few of those on different phones, but I'll have to tell you one story that was fun. We did I helped co-host a video with the Grizzly Jig, Louis Mansfield, and it's called Grizzly Fishing, and we were catching both bluegill and crappie on Real Foot Lake, and we had a city slicker filming this video for us. And the first day he was there in shorts and flip-flops, and we finally forced him into using some sunscreen, but he burnt to a crisp. But he wasn't used to having boats hung up on stumps or sticking your pole in the brush with a big old snake laying there about 6 feet from you.
Right.
So that was a barrel of fun, to watch. So,
I bet. You get over there the wrong time of year, the mosquitoes will cover you enough that you won't get sunburned.
that's right. It's a pretty wicked lake, but it can produce fish. I hear they're struggling a little on crappie, but their bluegill still doing pretty
bluegill's
good.
On fire over there. They're just kind of going through a downswing on that crappie like every lake does.
I believe that.
The locals over still know how to catch them.
Oh, yeah, they know how to catch them.
We're about 2 years away from everybody else being able to catch them. They'll come back.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that place is a catfish factory, too. It just don't get a whole lot of recognition for it.
You're right. I know they even, flip, they'll flip to trees and stuff for them. But I talked to a gentleman about 3 weeks ago, and his kids, he takes them out, and he said in an hour's time they can just have the boat loaded with catfish. Oh, 2 to 3 pounds, say it's a ball.
I've just watched people stand on the bank over there reeling them in, little kids and everything.
Yeah.
So. Oh man, we probably could go on forever and ever, but at some point we have to wrap it up. But tell them one more time, Tim, how can they get your books?
They can get those from by going to the Amazon, and They can Google up crappie fishing books by Tim Huffman, whatever they want to do, you know, and get them. And they're available in ebook form or paperback.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for being on, Tim.
Man, appreciate having you here today, man.
It's been fun talking with y'all today.
All right.
Thanks.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, this week's Tackle Time, man. All of this crappie fishing talk has just got me excited about this LiveScope stuff. And I tell you what, Brad, I just come out of the R&D lab here at Pico, and we've been working for a couple of months now on a LiveScope jig head.
Yeah, so yeah. What makes it a live scope?
Well, you know, we see all these guys out here, and they've got this massive school of crappie right in front of them, and the great old big ones are right down underneath all them little ones. And, you know, God help it, man, that bunny butt, it just keeps – you got to catch all of those little ones with that bunny butt in order to get down there to that big fish. What they need, you know, is this head, you know, like I'm building that, you know,
so you're telling us you're making one?
I'm making this one, you know, and it's made, well, you know how it's made, so that those little fish will ignore the little fish and go down there to the big fish, you know, because it's got that thing.
You're not very nice about teasing people about new products.
Yeah, well, boy, this thing is just almost finished, and when I get this, well, you know, that other thing all lined out, you know, and then get that cut just so. Holy cow, this is going to be awesome.
We just had the only Tackle Time that didn't say something about the name of the tackle.
We don't even know what it is, do you?
No, I don't know what the name of it is. I don't know what I'm going to write.
But we know what it's for. If you've got LiveScope, you're going to want this jig head.
All right. Well, that ends Tackle Time because he's not going to tell us the name of it because it doesn't have a name
yet. The tackle that you don't have, the tackle that you can't have, but the tackle that you will have as soon as I get it finished. It's coming, folks.
There you go. And the thing is, we'll have some pictures. We'll let you know when it comes out so you can get it. I'm guessing that it's going to be a little bit bigger jig head than what is normally available right now. I tell you what, we had a good show with Tim Huffman, man.
He's awesome guy.
There isn't much he hasn't done in the outdoor world when it comes to writing about crappie and 8 books, 2 current books that are out. So.
He's the original Mr. Crappie.
It's good stuff. So thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. You know, subscribe to our show, rate it, and leave us a review.
Let us know what else you want to hear about.
For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and lures in the water.